Don't worry, it's not going to be... It's a famous last words, isn't it? When a minister says, don't worry, it's not going to be long. But yeah, it's not going to be long. Just a few thoughts. We've been going through a few... Just words, isn't it? Even one-word messages, isn't it? So 2 weeks ago, it was the word abide. Can you remember? Abide. And we even did the Can You Hear From God experiment. And 3 minutes you just read. And amazing how God brings Scripture alive, isn't it? And you don't need a degree in theology to read Scripture. In fact, most Scripture is quite straightforward. Our challenge is often living it out, isn't it? Do all things without arguing and complaining. You don't need to be an expert in Greek or Hebrew. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But living it is different, isn't it? Living those things out. And that's where we need his help and that transformation. So we looked at abide and the John 15. Then we looked at trust, isn't it? And we were singing that old classic, isn't it? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And it's that word obey I just wanted to look at very briefly this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go to John. We've been looking at that kind of that passage, that chunk around John 15, 16, when Jesus is teaching and sharing truth. If anyone needs a Bible, put your hand up. Roz will get you one. Most people have got them on their devices. I think Maya wants one, and Ian wants. Yeah, see that hand? It's like an auction. You've got to be careful of putting your hand up. So John chapter 14. And in that, it's all about you. That verse popped up, didn't it? John 14, 23. And we'll go back a bit, but I'll read that first. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word or obey my commandments," some translations. "And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." That's amazing, that the fact that God can make his home with us or reveal himself or manifest himself to us. So we're going to just go back to the start, the context. What's the context? What's Jesus saying? Verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." That was Francis Tan was talking about, isn't it? His Spirit is inside of us. Verse 18. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You could just read that quietly with the Spirit, and there's so much in there. God would show you so many things, and I almost think and I feel inadequate, because there's just so much power in Jesus' words, and sometimes we can get so familiar with them, but in slowing down, some of those words might jump out in new ways and different ways to us. And let's just start verse 22. Verse 21. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So if we love God and we seek to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways, not from a religious, I have to do it, from a place of love because I want to love my Father. If we do that, God wants to manifest himself to us. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be in our lives. He wants us to be known as we are known. And There's some powerful things there. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obey my commandments, verse 15. What does it mean to obey? You know, isn't children obey your parents, isn't it? Sometimes we quote that, don't we, as parents? But, and I think we have a bit of an obedience problem in our world, don't you? And a bit of an honor problem when we look at society. But what is it to keep commandments? What is it to keep Jesus' commandments? And Jesus summed it in those two, wasn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's great. But Jesus also unpacks it as well. And I managed to find 49 commandments of Jesus. I'm sure there's way more. And he doesn't just say, I command you to. But when Jesus says something directive, when he says, do this, that's a command. That he's telling us, he's giving us strong advice how to live life skillfully. So I just picked out 10 for this morning. Just a few thoughts, just about obeying. So, repent. That's an interesting one. So Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's a command, isn't it? Walk in repentance. Choosing to turn away. Turning away from the things that we don't should do that glorify God. And walking in them. That's kind of connected to confession a bit there, isn't it? Follow me. That's the one to obey. Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that's something to be obedient to. I know it sounds really simple, but it's not these words, but it's the living them that I have a problem with. Am I someone, do I follow him? Not just on a Sunday, but tomorrow, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, wherever God has me, am I following him? Because if I follow him, he desires for you to be a fisher of men. We're not all evangelists. We're not. When I say we're all missionaries, that doesn't mean that you to go to your places of work and your family and, you know, hammer them. Some people have got a gift and a way of communicating, but each of us are called to be people that make a difference. Fishers of men, people, we're not fishing. We want to see other people experience what we have, and it's just being yourself, isn't it? And I love it when people share some of their testimonies in their workplace. But if you follow him, he will want to make you a fisher of men. Rejoice. That's something to a commandment. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So there's a command. If you're getting a hard time for being a Christian, rejoice. It's telling us to rejoice. Now, if we're getting a hard time because we're late for work, that's different, isn't it? If we're getting a hard time because of our faith, and, you know, sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we go through seasons. You might have had colleagues or family, and, you know, there's this thing that it grates up against them. It's okay. Jesus had that. People actively hated him. They wanted him crucified, don't forget. We've looked at Acts, isn't it? The revival one day with Paul, riot the next. It's okay. Persecution. Pain is part of the journey. It's part of it. It's not. We're not immune to it. But if we're in those situations, we can rejoice because actually, we're worthy of that persecution. Jesus is just treating us the way. No servant is above his master. Another commandment: let your light shine. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's really practical, isn't it? God has got his spirit inside of us. We are changed because of what he's done in our lives. So if we do that, the commandment is to shine, to make a difference, to be the best you that God has created you to be, so that God gets glory in heaven. There's an interesting command here. Be reconciled. Matthew 5:23-25. Therefore, if you bring in a gift to the altar, and you remember that a brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, and go to your brother first, and then offer the gift. There's this thing of keeping short accounts. And if we don't keep short accounts, the danger is we keep accounts. See, the opposite to keeping short accounts is keeping accounts. Now, somebody's an accountant. It is important. There is a place to keep accounts, but it's not a place to keep accounts with other people's wrongs. That is not the Jesus way. Sadly, that leads to gossip and that leads to division. And sadly, that still happens, even in LBC. But we have to do things the Jesus way. Jesus is really simple. You don't need a degree in theology to understand what Jesus is saying. If there's something not right with you and somebody else, if you've got concern or a question, speaking to someone else about them is gossip. That's going to cause division. That's going to cause hurt. Speak to the person and sort it out. Sort it out. It's a command. Before, you know, and that's an important part as well. Sometimes in communion, isn't it? Sometimes we say, you know, if there's something wrong with you and somebody else, please go and sort that out right. Because it's not good, is it? And we know, we see people that get bitter, don't we? We see people where a little thing happens and they don't sort it out and it becomes a big thing. And they tell this person and that person and everyone's getting cross. And actually, if they'd have just spoken about it, it could have been sorted very quickly. Jesus commands us to be reconciled. Because, of course, his mission was to reconcile us with God. He wants us to do what he did. Another command, seek God's kingdom first. I say this verse a lot. You may be bored of it. But if you're bored of me hearing this verse, then you must be living it fully. And if you're living it fully, please come here and teach me how to live it fully, because I don't live it fully. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses. How much do I do that in my life? How much do we do that? How much do we really seek him first? Self keeps kicking in. Self is a problem. Self is the sin problem in my life. Sin is a problem. Self is a problem. And every morning, he wakes up with me. The old nature is there, isn't it? I've even asked God to take it away. But God doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to choose afresh every day. But it's a command to seek first. If we put God's kingdom first, it says here, it's a promise. All these things will be added. And the context is about the concerns, the things that we worry about, provision. But if we truly seek God first, he's got us covered. He's got us. He's got our backs. Let me just tell you a story. Myself and Shay, we recently blessed with a few days in Dorset. We managed to dodge the rain and had some wonderful memories. And one of the things that we did, we went to the cinema in Dorchester, or the youngsters call it Dorch. But I don't think there's that many youngsters in Dorset. Well, that's the image, isn't it? So we went to Dorch, and there's a lovely place, the Brewery Quarter. They've really done a beautiful restaurant, cinema. Went to watch the new James Bond. If you like James Bond, it is classic James Bond. It's definitely worth a visit. Put it on your list of things for you to do in half term. I'm not sure what you do in half term, but put it on your half term list. Or maybe wait till all the kids have gone back to school and then go. That probably would be wiser. And just as an aside, it's straight in England, masks are optional. So we're in the cinema, and there's someone literally here, and there's someone there, you know, and you're desperate to cough then, aren't you, Perry? Perry's nervous at the thought of that. You're having palpitations there. So that was a bit strange, but afterwards I thought, you know, it's around our anniversary, let's go. Shay likes Wagamama, so who likes Wagamama? Who doesn't even know what Wagamama is? It's kind of like, it's expensive Chinese food, if you don't know what it is. But it's nice. It's very healthy. And it's kind of this casual dining. And sometimes you even sit by other people. It's a little bit unusual. So, yeah, Perry, again, you wouldn't like Wagamamas in England at the minute because you sit there next to two randoms. So as we arrive, I just asked the waitress. I just said, how's your day going? And she said something very quickly. And then it was pandemonium there. It was very busy. And then later on, she came to me and she said, sorry if I was a bit short earlier. She looked in the eye. She said, no one has asked me that question for 3 years. 3 years. She's been working there 8 years. No one has asked her, how are you? Isn't that... Now, we can say that's a tragic reflection on society. Well, yes, but it's because the society is broken because of sin, because of self. You know, and... If left to our own devices, we all go and get extra toilet rollers. We all panic and go and get fuel because self kicks in, doesn't it? But Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom. It's about being last. I can't believe it. No one's asked her that question in 3 years. And what a joy then to be able to minister to her and find out a bit about her journey. And can I just encourage you just how we deal with people, how we just talk to people, ask people, value people, speak to the person at the till. Do you know what? You might even, not in a weird way, you never know, you might get Jesus in there somehow. Even the coffee shop, we were talking about what we do. The guy he says, I like listening to podcasts. Do you have a podcast? Well, I said, well, there is lisvanebaptist.com or org. So he may be listening to me. I'm thinking, Lord, I just pray that the right bits get through because it might confuse him. But do you know, we get those opportunities, don't we? Seeking first. It's not about me. Another commandment, judge not. Judge not that you not be judged. But with the same judgment that you use, it'll be used against you. And behold, you know, it's that whole, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when there's a plank in your own, isn't it? And the danger when we get into self-preservation mode, we can easily, and even as a church, we can think, what's not happening? What are they not doing? But I always say, permission to give the little mirror, what are you doing? Where's your part? Where are you adding? But it's so easy, isn't it? We're experts at finding fault with others. But let's just catch our breath. Let's be people that respond, not react. A sign of maturity is someone who responds. And reacting causes damage. When someone just goes with what they're saying and not thinking of what they're doing, it causes damage. Be careful not to judge others, because the measure that we use others, it will be used against us. Ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened up to you. For everyone that asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. How complicated is that, what I just said? Very easy to understand, isn't it? Ask, seek, and knock. If you need something, ask. If you're looking for answers, seek them. If you're looking for a breakthrough in an area, knock on that door. And it says that God will open those things. But how much do I ask him? How much do I go to God for advice? See, many people want counseling, but I often say, well, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What does the Bible say? See, I can't be God's answer for you. I can pray with you, and sometimes God may give me a word or wisdom, but actually, he wants this to be true for you. He wants you to follow that commandment to ask him. What do you need to ask God for right now? What are you seeking for? What breakthroughs do you need to knock and say, God, would you just sort this thing out? Because we often try and do it in our own strength, don't we? And why aren't I learning? Why don't we learn that it's a lot easier to do it that way? Because he's got the answers. He wants to answer prayer. God answers all prayer. Yes, no, or later. Do to others. Therefore, do to others as you would have them do to you. For that is the law and the prophets. It's back to that thing, isn't it? It's asking someone, how are you? That's Matthew 7:12. Last one, deny yourself. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for my sake shall save it. For what advantage is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Deny yourself. And do you know, if there were 7 words... If I could leave 7 words for you to walk into this week with, it's not about me. There's 4, isn't it? It's not about me. It's not about me. The Christian message, it's not about me. To be rich, we've got to be poor. To be strong, we've got to be weak. To be fully alive, we need to die to self. It's this taking this cross. We saw the cross. The way of the disciple, the way of the apprentice, God has called you to be an apprentice of Jesus. To be a practitioner, the highest calling. He wants you to walk in those things that he walked in. But it starts by laying down our lives and saying, at the start of Monday, Lord, I just want to give you today. You know, and the days that I believe that when we say, God, I give you this day fully, they're some of the best days I've ever lived. And I don't know why. Sometimes we have a great day, and sometimes we think something about us, and maybe we forget to ask the next day. But it is this daily denying yourself. It's not about me. It's not about me. And then another 3 words is, how are you? Just like the question that I asked that lady. See, it's not about me, but we can make a difference just by saying, how are you? Just by, even yesterday, Seth wanted a cycle at the Sainsbury's. Someone had given him some pocket money for the holiday. And what if you give a 9-year-old pocket money? They want to spend it then, don't they? It's a fair play. You only spent half of it. And he's looking around Sainsbury's. It's a treasure trove, isn't it, to a 9-year-old? The toy aisles. And even more excited to know that the Argus computers are on board and you can buy stuff there. And he, off his own back, he's quite a shy kid, Seth. He's not a big mouth like his dad. And I just see him ask this lady, she said, excuse me, to this lady, can you show me where the computer games are? And this lady stopped and took him. She said, it's wonderful to deal with a polite child, you know. And it's those simple things, please, thank you, those acts of kindness. So, do you know what? That's what it's about, isn't it? It's about obeying those things. It's what we've read. And if we obey those things, Jesus wants to dwell with us in every area of our lives. That's kingdom. Every area, your relationships, your finances, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, your prayers, your hurts. That's what kingdom living is about. It's Jesus in every area. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So there's the three words. But it's all connected to that abide, isn't it? If we abide in him, we'll trust him. And if we abide in him, we'll want to obey him. It's natural when you've got a relationship with someone, you want to please them. If you're in a love relationship, if you remember when you're courting, and you want to do things to please them, isn't it? So abiding is key, and it's making sure in our day, however that looks for you, for me as well, we can be so busy with things or meetings or preparations, but what do I do? What do we do to connect with him, to abide in his word, to stay in his presence? So, three words: abide, trust, obey. And what's the seven words? It's not about me. And yeah, well, it's about Jesus. That's good. That's a good one. But how are you, isn't it? Just and living it out, being salt and light. How are you? Maybe you're not as personal, as big mouthed as me. That's fine. But I'd encourage you. Just ask some people this week. How are you? And listen. And you will be Jesus to them in that moment. I know there's a lot of excitement for this next song, isn't there, Maya? There's a lot of excitement. So we've got Here Is Love Vast As the Ocean. It is in English, it's okay, but for Maynard and Maya, and I'm sure if Nia was here, you know, and if you want to Google the Welsh, you can have a sing in Welsh, but it is originally a Welsh song, and that's why there's so much. The word is hiraeth, isn't it? So Welsh have this word, it's just difficult to translate, which is like passion, and hiraeth, they call it. It's that kind of that. You can't describe it, but it's like that passion, that being at home. That's why some of the Welsh songs have got this thing to it. You can't describe it in English. So I think the Welsh, they're on the way, because if Hebrew is the language of heaven, then they've got half a chance, because they can say the CH sounds. But it's okay. We've got plenty of time to learn. I'm sure there'll be good manuals in heaven to help us.
Not just the Welsh hymn, it's the hymn,
the 1904 Welsh. Oh, is it the hymn of the revival? So it's got extra oomph to it. Yes. So let's just close and let's stand and sing this song. Thanks, Steve.